Welcome into the rebellion. Welcome, rebels. Welcome to Redacted on this Thursday. So glad to have all of you here. Gather up, join us by the fire. Hope it's warm where you are. Grab a hot beverage, grab a cold beverage. You know, it's crazy. I think about like the Southern Hemisphere right now. It's summertime. So maybe you're hot as sin right now and you don't want to have a hot beverage. But wherever you are, if you're in Australia watching us right now, New Zealand, happy summer to you and happy winter to the rest of you. Welcome in on this Thursday. We've got a jam-packed show for you that we're going to get to. If you're new to the show, please subscribe and smash that like button. We do this show every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Thursday. We are live, so good to see everyone on this Thursday. The stories we're going to cover today, Putin mobilizing. That is the word from NATO. That is the word from Ukraine. That is the word from sources in and around the Donbas as President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, about to launch this massive assault. And you're really seeing NATO in a desperate moment here, and you're really seeing them amplify, of course, what Russia is about to do, because they want as many weapons as possible. Ursula von der Leyen flying in and meeting with Vladimir Zelensky today to offer up their support. Once again, a new weapons package is coming from the United States. Long-range weapons, the ones we said we would not send. So we will unpack what's going on right now with this mobilization and what it actually means. We're also going to look at the World Economic Forum and their next crisis. It's not just one crisis. We're going to introduce a new word for you tonight on the show as we unpack their massive new report, which details multiple crises and where they see things happening. So the World Economic Forum, the WEF, is letting us know that we are in for a world of hurt, probably thanks to them, by the way. So we'll unpack that. We're also going to look at why is the power grid in the United States continue to be attacked? It's a story we've covered sort of tangentially here on the show. The mainstream media has largely ignored the story, and we had another major power outage and attack yesterday. What is going on? Who's to blame for this? But I have a theory, and I think they're excited about it, actually. And I think they're very happy that this is unfolding. Plus, we're going to look at Mr. Rogers. You know, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood? Oh, people aren't happy. Leftists, liberals are not happy about Mr. Rogers. Yeah, Mr. Rogers from PBS fame. You know, he's no longer alive, that Mr. Rogers. Now they want to cancel him for stuff that he used to do on his old show, which is still in syndication. And what's going on with all those chickens and the eggs? What's happening with that? Why are eggs not being produced by chickens? There's a lot of theories. We're going to get to unpack all of that on this Thursday show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Natalie is off. She's been traveling. So you've got me, you've got David, you've got Philip, you've got Grimm, you've got the whole men team today. Hope it's okay. I hope it's okay that you've got men tonight. Because that's all we got. And we're not going to change our gender for you. So Redacted starts right now. Johnny One Plate in our chat says, "Where's the hot girl?" And if by hot girl you mean my wife, she's not here tonight. She's off.
He might have been talking about me because I changed my gender for today's show.
Oh God! To a chipmunk?
Yes. Hey, we're not. It's not just gender these days. You can switch. It's species. So
you can do whatever you want.
A female chipmunk.
You can become a wolf. You can become a dog. Yeah. You can become any of those things.
I tried to get an outfit, but it was like way too expensive, and plus all the surgery I'd need to be that small was insane.
You tried to get a furry chipmunk outfit, a chipmunk outfit.
Yeah. So I passed.
I know some people I can hook you up.
You sick bastards, sick folks. Good to have everyone here on this show. Thank you guys so much for subscribing. I should mention we had 3,000 of you sign up for our newsletter yesterday. I think that's a new record. So new record. Thank you guys for signing up for our daily newsletter. We write it in the morning. Natalie writes it. I add some color and proofreading and additional content as well, but she does the bulk of the writing. We try to cover about 4 or 5 stories. You can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. All you need to do is go to redacted.inc. You put in your email address and you'll receive a welcome email from me, which is clayton@redacted.inc. You'll get a welcome email from me. Just hit verify. Then that way it's verified because, you know, Google and spam filters and all that stuff. They want to know that you want to receive the newsletter. And then it looks like this. We kind of have a little fun at the top of the newsletter. Something you might have missed. We show you in case you missed it section. We show you some of the markets, what's going on with gold, silver, and some of the broader markets. And then we cover some of the top stories of the day. Like I said, four or five stories. You can read it in about 5-10 minutes. So redacted.inc, not .com, redacted.inc is the place to go and subscribe. And you'll receive it tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning. All right, without further ado, let's get into today's top story, which is the greatest propaganda campaign in world history. That is the war in Ukraine. This is the war in Ukraine just moments ago. Drudge updating their front page to reflect what's about to happen. We've been monitoring the situation over the past 24 hours from different sources and journalists who we trust on the ground there. And like, you know, this is a war zone, so you get different dispatches, of course. It's also a frozen war zone. But the front page of Drudge, Putin's 500,000 troop assault gains world attention. That's the front page. And word overnight that Putin's massive offensive appears now to be underway. We'll go through those signs in a moment and what this means. But first, some economic updates, because after all, this is an economic war. Remember that when you're talking about, you know, tanks and long-range weapons. Remember, this is an economic war against Russia. While America is paying $10 for eggs right now, energy prices are through the roof. Germans can't afford the soaring cost of energy. Britons are getting fined for burning wood in a wood-burning stove. You get fined £300 if you are caught burning wood. It's just to stay warm because your leaders screwed you over and now you don't have energy. Just remember that. Businesses across Britain have shut down. Hundreds years old, I don't know if that's the way you would say it, hundreds years old pubs, you know, like those really amazing little pubs all throughout England, you know, so many of them are closing down because they just can't afford to stay open. Energy costs are through the roof. Thanks to soaring energy costs, these businesses are closing. Russia is the most sanctioned country in the world. And overnight, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, now projects that Russia is now the most comprehensively sanctioned country in all of history. Russia is now the most sanctioned country in history. We'll have a positive GDP growth this year at a higher rate than Germany. Just wrap your head around that for a moment. When we hear from these European leaders and U.S. leaders that, you know, Putin is suffering and that Russia is suffering under the weight of sanctions. Really?
Well, and is that partly because they don't have the same kind of, like, you know, most of the countries that we sanction and it affects them is because they have a centralized banking system that we've set up. They have an economy that's dependent on things that we're sending them in and out. Whereas Russia is pretty much self-sufficient. They have their own banking system. They have their own, you know,
it's a huge part of it.
They can produce everything that they need. So that's got to be a huge part of it.
Yeah. It's a huge part of it. Absolutely a massive part. And I've done a number of videos on this story because I think it's maybe one of the most important stories of the year is this move away from the US dollar as a reserve currency, right? Because that's why we're in this war, is for the US hegemony of the US dollar as the world's reserve currency. Make no mistake about it. That's the reason. And the reason that the EU is collapsing under the weight of the United States right now and kowtowing to the United States is because we want control through NATO of Europe. That's exactly what's happening. And because we can crush the euro, we now destroy the pipeline, the Nord Stream pipeline. They pay for all of their, you know, gas and expensive fuel through the United States. And we come out smelling like roses in the United States because we get to push the boot, you know, right down in the face of Europe. And they just go along with it. It's like an abusive relationship. It's ridiculous. But they are self-sufficient in many ways. Not fully, but largely. And then the partnerships that they've made in many ways make them more, you know, fully self-sufficient. So as I've talked about before, minerals, precious metals, fuel sources, all of those things produced in-house. And then the partnerships, the things that they don't have, they've partnered with China. They've strengthened their relationships with the other BRICS nations, Brazil, India, China, South Africa, right? And so they've, I always feel like I always forget one, you know, because if I'm using the example of Russia, well, then I don't want to say the R, because the R in BRICS is Russia. So I got to skip over them. And then my brain, I'm thinking B, skip the R, I, India, C, China, S, South Africa. And so they've
Isn't
made
there
these
another S that they just recently added? I thought there was another S they just recently added.
Well, there's others trying to get in, you know, they're trying to get in on the BRICS, yeah. Like BRICS Plus, you know, but officially, yeah. You know, but these alliances are strong. You're also seeing Saudi Arabia now moving away from the United States and moving away from the petrodollar and towards the petro-yuan in China. And so again, yes, that's why you're seeing this growth, but it's amazing. So, and the UK, the United Kingdom had negative growth. So let me repeat. Russia, positive GDP growth, the most sanctioned country in ever, more than Germany, it's doing better than Germany, and the UK has negative GDP growth. So Russia's economy has grown under sanctions. Zelensky this morning told the European Union that he's upset at the slowdown of these sanctions packages. Like, we had a lot of them, right? Rapid fire. We're up to our ninth sanctions package. He was upset, he told Ursula von der Leyen, that we were upset about the speed of these things. So today, Ursula von der Leyen snapped to attention, went to Kiev for the fourth time, announced a new round of sanctions against Russia, a 10th package that will come on the anniversary of the war's start date. So here at the end of February, here they are shaking hands and glad handing, but she didn't stop there. She also reiterated that Ukraine would become part of the European Union, she told him, further solidifying the end of the European Union. Like, what standards do you have then as a commission if you're letting in the most corrupt country in all of Europe? Like, what standards? You literally have a country that does not stand for democracy, which silences opposition leaders, which shuts down churches, which expels dissenters, which shuts down the press, takes control of media. Like, what? These are all violations of what it takes to become an EU member. Now you're just going to let them in. Okay. Corruption. It's the name of the game. Also, I love this. Just as a prop, you know, just watching the propaganda unfold, I love how they have full video camera crews with really beautiful steady cams, always ready to welcome these world leaders to Kyiv. Like, here we go. Watch this nice, like, tracking shot, like, here moving along. Is that a tracking shot or is that a, I don't know. It's like a nice steady cam shot.
That's either a tracking shot or a really good cameraman. And look at that. They've got different angles. They're probably like, okay, reset. Now go back and walk again.
Yeah, and they've got music.
Like, that is definitely a production.
Look at all these. They release all of it. They release, like, these videos with music and all of this production. Like, you're in a war zone, but hey, we got film crews. All, you know, I got my best sweatshirt on today.
Everybody's so happy. Look how happy everybody is. My God. They're so happy.
Step on up. Shake hands. Let's get inside. Let's get some nice panning shots showing us meeting inside here. Let's get down to business. Let's get some work done here. What are you going to do for us? How much more money can you send to us? Can I kiss your boots anymore? That's unbelievable. So that's the EU side of things. And today we learned that the Biden administration is also about to funnel $2 billion, a new $2 billion plus Ukraine aid package with longer range weapons. So the United States is readying more than $2 billion worth of military aid for Ukraine that is expected to include longer range rockets for the first time, as well as other munitions and weapons, two U.S. officials briefed on the matter told Reuters on Tuesday. So Michael Tracy points out, of course, these longer-range weapons, we've slow-walked this thing, right? We have absolutely, this is like mission creep. So here is Michael Tracy. Last summer, Ukraine's defense chief specifically pleaded for long-range rocket systems to strike targets within 150 kilometers. The pleas were rebuffed due to escalation fears. Now the U.S. is sending rocket systems with a range of 150 kilometers. These decisions all eventually go in one direction. Yeah, because now we're sending jets as well. So, you know, remember, that's World War III, according to Biden. Can't send tanks, Can't send jets. We can't put U.S. personnel. Now we literally have Americans. I saw the photos today of Americans coming home in coffins draped in American flags. Did you sign up for this? So American personnel, mercenaries.
Were
for
they
sure.
in a field in Poland or something? Like, how did that happen?
Right. No, I think they were actually in Ukraine, although they told us they're not there. You know, American personnel coming home in body bags, coming home in American flag-draped coffins, tanks, long-range weapons, jets, whatever else. All of this, we were told, would be World War III. So here's moron-in-chief, NATO leader Jens Stoltenberg. He's shocked to find out that Russia and China are growing stronger. How did that happen, I wonder? Here, he worries about this. Watch.
The fact that Russia and China are coming closer.
Тот факт, что Россия и Китай сближаются, а также значительные инвестиции Китая и новые передовые военные возможности лишь подчеркивают, что Китай представляет угрозу.
So, he can't believe it, that they're growing closer together. Like, that's a concern. Really? That must come as a shock to you when you literally put a ninth and then now 10th sanctions package and make it the most sanctioned country in world history. Is that shocking to you that they would go and find a better friend? You know, like if you're at recess and you're growing up and you're, you know, in junior high school or whatever, or your elementary school, and you're this friend that you think is good, like a good friend, but he's constantly talking behind your back. He's constantly bullying you. He's constantly taking away the ball. He's constantly making you feel bad. He's undermining you at every turn. Well, are you going to hang out with that person, or are you going to go find other friends? You're going to go find other friends who are going to have your back. And that's what Russia has done with China and made it stronger. So you're shocked by this? Morons. So better friends is what they found. To the military side of things now, and this is where Ukraine is now convinced that Russia has started to mobilize. This is the New York Times. And Ukraine fears new offensive is underway as Russia masses troops. Russia is massing hundreds of thousands of troops and stepping up its bombardment, perhaps signaling the biggest assault since the start of the war. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says, quote, I think it's started, but I have time to hang out with Ursula von der Leyen and smile and have camera crews. So literally one of the biggest assaults in years, in one of the biggest ground war assaults in, I mean, I don't know, ever, is about to unfold. And you can hang out with Ursula von der Leyen and you know, and do photo shoots. So this is what's happening. And Ukrainian propagandists are, of course, all over this story. But it's weird to see, like, the mainstream media in lockstep with this. Because they're all in Kyiv or other, they're not on the front lines. They're not actually there covering this story in Donbass, of course. And so what Vladimir Putin has been saying over the past few days is, we are moving now our line back. Where you guys continue to carry out this genocide against the people of the Donbass, we are now going to stretch that front. So we're going to push you back. So no more. Like, you want to continue to try to hit these areas, our new mission now is to push you all the way back. So any things that you lob our way are well without range. You'd be hitting your own people, which, you know, that's the thing. The Ukrainians have been saying that these are our own people anyway, but then they're okay to just shell them for the past 8 years. So it makes no sense. But and they want that territory back so they can be brutal leaders again of those people that do not want to have anything to do with them. So that's the new red line. We're pushing you way back so you can't attack what is now Russian territory, sovereign Russian territory in the Donbass. And Ukrainian propagandists are all over the story. It's amazing to watch. Like, they're acting in coordination with the mainstream media. Here's one of my favorite Ukrainian takes today by this person, Ariana Zhik. Credible Ukrainian military experts, which is laughable in and of itself, credible Ukrainian military experts warn that the anticipated imminent Russian offensive will include attacks on nuclear power plants, either to occupy or disconnect them from Ukraine's power grid. Credible Ukrainian military experts warn that the anticipated imminent Russian offensive will include attacks on nuclear power plants. I'm sorry, you mean like the repeated attacks on the Zaporizhzhia power plant and others, nuclear power plants, like those attacks? Using American HIMARS weapons to attack those nuclear power plants? But now, credible Ukrainian military officials are saying that now Russia is going to attack the very same nuclear power plants that it has control of? Okay. And by the way, she wants you to donate to and be a part of actinukrainenow.org. NATO humanitarian military mission in Ukraine is needed. And here is Act in Ukraine's mission statement. Let's read through. It's pretty funny. Russia's genocidal war on Ukraine has been the objective of extinguishing Ukraine as an independent nation. Okay, that's false. Number two, Russian armed forces are obliterating Ukraine with terrorist tactics. Oh, you mean like the Kerch Bridge to Crimea? That was blown up by Ukrainian secret police? And have caused the largest humanitarian crisis in Europe since the Second World War. Russian armed forces commit war crimes and crimes against the humanity on an industrial scale. Convenient when you ignore the very own war crimes on the Ukrainian side, but don't get me started. NATO's intervention war crimes?
I missed the other word. War crimes, yeah. What do industrial war crimes look like on an industrial scale? Like industrial strength war crimes? Like that's a new one. I appreciate that.
I mean, I guess like what Ukraine's been doing for the last 8-9 years against the people of the Donbas, you know, it's a cognitive dissonance. Like the people literally ignore what's unfolded against these people for almost a decade now. So maybe just the routine, the nonstop barrage for the past 8 years hitting civilian targets. I don't know. Is that on industrial scale? I don't know. NATO's intervention in Ukraine would be absolutely legitimate and lawful, they say. NATO's intervention in Ukraine would be absolutely legitimate and lawful. Really? Because it's not a member of NATO. So, NATO is the only actionable force to implement the will of the international community to stop Russian aggression. The objective of NATO's mission in Ukraine will be to prevent a humanitarian catastrophe which carries international consequences far beyond Ukrainian borders. NATO must defend its values. This is my favorite one of the whole list. NATO must defend its values of liberty, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law from rogue terrorists, Putin's Russia. Really?
I mean, yeah, coming from the aggressor, that's rich.
You know, it really is amazing to me because there's so many ignorant people still who just don't understand what's actually been unfolding for the past 8-9 years here. There's really a lot of ignorant people out there, not the people watching this show because you understand what's going on. But yeah, the people that watch like CNN, the people that are watching the mainstream media, the people that read the garbage like New York Times, or the Washington Post or Reuters or the BBC, they fall for this kind of stuff. They fall for this stuff. And this is the type of propaganda that got us into this mess. And this is why the rest of Europe is collapsing right now. And this is why Britons are being fined £300 for just trying to heat their homes with wood. Meanwhile, last week, Germany's foreign minister... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, real quick. I think the thing that gets missed in that last little image we were looking at is I could see if you wrote that saying the UN must, because, you know, if there are people in Ukraine who they feel that they need the international community, what they want is the UN, not NATO, because they're not a member of NATO.
Right.
NATO, like that would be like NATO going into Yemen, NATO going into Syria.
Right.
Like that's not what NATO's charter is supposed to be. Yeah. It's a bullshit little club. But the fact is, you can't call on that club to go start going into other countries that aren't NATO members. That is hugely problematic on a global scale.
Well, that's
because
then
NATO is just a rogue army.
Well, and that's what Colonel Douglas McGregor said earlier this week on our show when he said, you know, NATO is a defensive organization. And because there is nothing to defend, they had to create and provoke a war. Have to provoke an enemy. You then have to make Putin the bad guy. Without a bad guy, as he pointed out, then NATO shouldn't exist. Like, there's no reason for it to exist. To defend what? There's nothing
to
defend.
Well, the United States has been great at making Russia the bad guy since the end of World War II, when they actually helped us, or we helped them, rather, liberate the Jews.
Yeah, I mean,
but ever
liberate,
since then, we've just been like...
Or liberate Europe.
Moving. I mean, yeah, exactly.
And so NATO as an organization, you know, serves no purpose anymore. Now it's now it's to provoke wars. That's what it is. Just ask the Serbians. So this is what it does. So meanwhile, last week, German's foreign minister said out loud what we already knew, which is that Germany is at war with Russia. Germany is at war with Russia. She told us this, that NATO is at war with Russia. Germany, by proxy, is at war with Russia, she said. Watch.
And therefore, I've said already in the last days, yes, we have to do more to defend Ukraine. Yes, we have to do more also on tanks. But the most important and the crucial part is that we do it together and that we do not do the blame game in Europe, because we are fighting a war against Russia and not against each other. Thank you.
So we're at war. We are fighting. We are fighting a war against Russia. She said it. Those were her words. Well, now Germany says that if you think that she said we are at war with Russia, that is Russian propaganda. That she never said those words. Here's Reuters. Germany accuses Russia of twisting the minister's war comments for propaganda. She didn't say that. I love how we have videotape, like not even videotape anymore, which deteriorates. Like we have digital files. Like we can play you what she said. She said it. Now it's Russian propaganda if you think that she said that. Okay.
And it wasn't even like she said it that long ago that it, like, we could have all like be suffering from the mandala effect. That was like a week ago, wasn't
right?
it?
It was last
like
week.
Some of us have a memory span that will last that long. I mean, come on.
I mean, not much longer. I mean, I'm teetering there, but yeah, I can remember last week. And it's good
well,
that we have
long,
here at Redacted, we have a massive archive of videos. Like, we're able to pull from a lot of stuff. You know, we have a really good system of, like, being able to pull when these politicians lie to us. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, before too long, they're going to be like, oh, no, that was a deep fake. They're going to have that as an excuse.
Right. Yeah, it was a deep fake. Yeah, so that's Russian propaganda, if you believe that. So we're watching very closely what happens over the next few days. Of course, NATO really wants there to be this awareness about this Russian offensive, because as Lloyd Austin said last week in Rammstein, Germany, we have a narrow window. And so in many ways, things might be changing. Putin is amassing and ready to make these attacks and so forth to shore up the Donbass, but it might be more propaganda coming from Ukraine than is actually merited, the actual massive mobilization right now. So just be very aware of like the propaganda right now. So Zelensky says it's starting. We know that Putin says our mission now is to push you back away from hitting people in the Donbass anymore. But this fits what NATO wants, right? So Ursula von der Leyen flies in there to meet with Zelensky. $2 billion now being sent again to Ukraine. Like all of this fits perfectly for what NATO and what Western leaders want right now, which is for you to feel bad for what's about to happen. So we need to throw as much money and support as possible into this mess. So we'll keep our eye on it. We're also going to look at what the World Economic Forum is doing tonight. We're going to be looking at how they're warning about the next poly crisis, as they're calling it. Multiple crises at one time. We'll break down what these crises are, according to the World Economic Forum. And let me ask you guys this. Just drop me a line in the chat right now. How many of you think the crises that we're about to experience are because of them? Like, it's very convenient. They get to predict the crises that they are, of course, going to carry out and create for us. Also, we're going to look at these attacks on the power grid. We're going to talk about Mr. Rogers. Was he anti-trans? Or just aware of actual gender? We'll talk about that. Plus, the chicken or the egg. Why are they disappearing? What else is to blame? We'll talk about that. We've got a lot more to get to here. But right now, charging higher interest is how banks make more money. And they take a lot more of your hard-earned money if your credit score is just okay, but not great. ScoreMaster is the new science in accelerating your credit score. So if you want to get your credit score up and you want your, you know, to put yourself in control of your own money, not the bank, say your credit is 650 and you're borrowing $500,000 to refinance your home. Well, if you start at ScoreMaster, it could actually save you over $75,000 in interest over the life of your loan or more, because that 75 grand is your money, not the bank's. That's the genius behind ScoreMaster's three-week rule, especially now with soaring interest rates. It only takes a minute to get started, and you can add 30 to 100 points in about 3 weeks, depending on your credit file. So before you apply for any loan, auto lease, or credit, start at ScoreMaster. Visit scoremaster.com/redacted for your special 7-day trial. Again, your special 7-day trial is waiting for you at scoremaster.com/redacted. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for subscribing to the channel. We do this show Monday through Thursday live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We try to cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. I spent about 20 years in the mainstream media. The last 10 years, I was a news anchor at Fox News. Did the morning show alongside my co-host Tucker and Anna, and then Tucker went off and got his own show, and I left. I said, okay, I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. anymore. And started doing my own thing, started to be able to cover and, you know, as an independent media company, do what we do here. So thank you so much for subscribing to the channel and smashing that like button, whether you're on YouTube or Rumble. We've got a lot of you watching on Rumble right now. I think we're like 20,000 of you watching on Rumble. So about 50,000 of you watching right now, roughly, with Twitter as well. So thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your afternoon, wherever you are in the world, to watch our show. We really appreciate it. Let's talk about the World Economic Forum. So here's a term you're not going to like. The term is polycrisis, meaning many, many interconnected crises at the same time. Now, this is not my word. This is Klaus Schwab's word and the team, the merry band of globalists over at the World Economic Forum. This is their new global risks report they just released. It's a hoot of a read, by the way. You should all read it. It was published recently, and it's an annual assessment of human survival or lack thereof. Like, are we all going to die thanks to these globalists? Based on the perceived risks, such as high cost of living, wars, conflicts, and natural disasters, the World Economic Forum ranks these risks as short-term or long-term. Now, is this an attempt to scare us? Perhaps. You could read it that way. It does read like a list of things that the World Economic Forum invites us to freak out about. Like, they want us to be scared about this stuff so they have control of us and, you know, turn our sovereignty over to them so they will protect us, right? Pandemic, here's your vaccine. Climate change and fires and wildfires, fine. Stay home. Lockdown. We'll take care of you. We'll make you a digital currency. We'll cars anymore. We got control of you. They certainly seem to be ratcheting up the narrative, though, from last year's report. Last year, the World Economic Forum's biggest concerns were this. Let's go through the list. These were the last year. This was last year's report. Disorderly climate transition. Chapter 3, digital dependencies and cyber vulnerabilities. Barriers to migration. You know, want to come across the southern border of America? Is there a wall there? Let's break down those barriers. Just come on in. They've certainly been achieving that. Crowding and competition in space. It's getting crowded up in space.
Hey, how many of those issues did their big ass brains fix? I'm pretty sure that since that was last year's list, it should be. I think they're all fixed, right?
Well, barriers to migration. They've certainly knocked down the barriers to migration. They've really helped that, right?
Yeah, all you have to do is look up, and you can see there's absolutely no crowding in space. So
there's no competition in space anymore.
Yeah.
Digital dependencies. Are we digitally dependent? Digital dependencies. We've become more digitally dependent thanks to their moves. Climate change, cybersecurity, migration, resource competition based on overcrowding. So if we put last year at a 4 or 5 alarm fire, we can put this year's report at a 10 plus. Thanks, World Economic Forum. So let's go through. This year, they're saying all manner of things are a crisis. Again, this isn't us saying this. This is the World Economic Forum. All of the unelected globalists who just got together in Davos, who drive all of our policies, and of course, are, you know, in lockstep with the World Health Organization. These are the people that run our lives, our governments. We should be very frightened about this crap. Not about their list, but about them. So here's their list, their polycrises, as they're calling it. They're calling this polycrisis, meaning all of these things will simultaneously wreak havoc on our collective survival. All of these things. We'll go through them. In the words of climate researcher Bjorn Lomborg, if everything is a priority, then nothing is, right? Like, do you ever try to get some stuff done? You've got like a to-do list. You've got things that you want to accomplish, like a big project that you really want to, maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want, I know when I was writing my book like a number of years ago, like if I was doing other things, I didn't get to finish the book, right? I've got projects that I, with my companies that I'm working on. Like if I'm distracted by other things, those things don't get done. It's like what Cal Newport writes about in his book, Deep Work. If you spend 3 to 4 hours of really focused work, you can get a lot accomplished. Not distracted by notifications and text messages and social media. Like if you just shut it all down and do it, you get the stuff done. So now all of these things distract us. All of these things take our attention. And that's what it is. If everything is a priority, then nothing is, as he says, Bjorn Lomborg. They even rate our potential for catastrophe at 13%. In the next 2 years, and 20% in the next 10 years, they say. These polycrises. So look at this one in the yellow. 2% chance that we'll be okay. There's a 2% chance in yellow that we'll be okay, according to the World
Economic
Forum.
So you're saying there's
a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, and they're probably, you know, they're showing in 10 years all the progress we'll have if we follow their guidelines.
Right. So the only,
we can
our
knock
only
it from
hope.
2% to 9%.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi, our only hope. Like the World Economic Forum, we've got to follow their guidelines. Otherwise, we're going to hit, you know, you're going to be screwed here. They don't really call all out war so much as geoeconomic confrontation is what they call it. Meaning that countries can't work together to sustain the life that we have. So war, economic and otherwise. In their long-term global risks, misinformation and disinformation is listed as number 11, meaning a global risk caused by misinformation. Put that into perspective for a moment. A terrorist attack is number 32 on the list. So information control is more important to the World Economic Forum than terrorism. By the way, who's carrying out the terrorism?
Well, yeah, they'd have to take an introspective look on that one, wouldn't they?
Right. Oh, you mean like, all those drone strikes that the United States carries out? Yeah. Is that considered terrorism, or is that one guy who whatever? Yeah, we can go down that rabbit hole, but you get our point. So here's one other interesting tidbit. Well, because I do believe the West is the largest group of terrorists in the world, and the amount of civilians killed as a result of what they've done in these proxy wars for the last 30, 40 years is evidence of that. And you take my word for it, just look it up. So they show us in these places which failed to stabilize prices and cost of living over the last 2 years. In 2021, it was Eastern countries that seemed to have low stability, mainly Russia, they said in this report. So look at the dark red of Russia, right? The failure to stabilize price trajectories in 2021. Yet in 2022, the countries that went along with Western sanctions suffered the... Watch this chart flip, guys. Okay, here's 2021, there's 2022. Okay, can you go back to 2021? Look, 2021, Russia's in red. 2022, the countries that go along with the sanctions suffered the worst, and Russia did not. The chart literally flips. Look how deep red Australia, United States, Canada... all of Europe. This is based on a survey of perception, not economic data, so keep that in mind. Note that the China destabilized too in this chart, which likely has little to do with war and more to do with COVID, of course, and lockdowns. So the report is full of the World Economic Forum you know, all the hits. They're playing all the hits here. It's like the greatest hits. Climate, migration, overcrowding, all of these things. Again, it is an invitation to worry. So if you want to worry, thanks to the World Economic Forum, or you can use this as an opportunity, you know, to take care of your own family, you know, and to, you know, make sure you have cash on hand, not have digital currencies that they're trying to force on you, taking care of your own family, providing your own food sources if you can, you know, have chickens, right? Have raise your own food sources, have your own gardens, be able to do those things outside of their control. Have your own fuel sources if you can. And, you know, this is a playbook for them. Straight up, this is what this is. This is a playbook for them. How world leaders can use this data to create policy change that may or may not be good for everyone. If past is prologue, it's a playbook for how to line the pockets of those people in power, quite simply, through the guise of social change based on panic. But it could also be well-intentioned. But likely that's not possible. So I'll say it could be well-intentioned. How many of you think the World Economic Forum is being well-intentioned here? Let me know in the chat. Do you guys think they're being well-intentioned?
I mean,
are they not?
Does your cup say Grateful Dad or Grateful Dead?
Grateful Dead. Grateful Dad.
Look at this. Great. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, because I have a Grateful Dead shirt on, so I was like, hey, we're buddies today.
I'm a grateful father, a father of three, father of three little ones who, you know, and you think about this world, what these globalists are trying to control and take away your liberties, take away your freedoms, force you. I saw what Whole Foods rolled out yesterday with this like QR code check-in and check-out, like they're tracking you when you go in, tracking you when you go out. These biometric scanners now that you can just pay with your face, your palm, getting rid of cash. I was saying to my wife, I said, it is so important for any time you go near an ATM machine, just to take out some cash, have cash on hand. Because they want to take it away from you. And they'll only let you try it. By the way, let's just say you had $10,000 in your bank account and you went to an ATM and you wanted to take out the $10,000. There's no way. You'll get like $150. That's it.
Oh, and get pulled over by the cops with that much money.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing with this cash? It's my money. What do you mean? What am I doing?
Civil
with
forfeiture.
Mm-hmm. Give it over to us.
They can literally, if they find that much money, the civil forfeiture, they can just literally take it and there's nothing you can do about it. They can just say, well, it looks like it's probably illegal. You probably got it illegally. We can take it and there's nothing you can do about it.
So anytime you get a chance, you're buying ATM, you know, because they give you a daily limit, right? Take out some cash, have cash on hand, put some in your safe, have it in a safe place that other people don't know about, but have it because I'm telling you, as Catherine Austin Fitz talks about, they want to take it all away from you. And by taking away cash, by going cashless, they gain total control. And we're very, very close to the World Economic Forum and these guys having total control. She described it, in fact, trying to get Catherine on the show and going back and forth. I'd love to have her on, but she said something the other night that I thought was so poignant. She said, really scary. She said, it's like a corral, you know, like you're corralling cattle. And she said, we are corralled at this moment. And by adding in these layers of vaccine passport and layering in digital currency, that closes the gate on us. Think about that. We are already corralled by these people, and by then layering in vaccine passports so you can or cannot travel, and we're monitoring everything you do, and then your money and the money supply is now controlled by us, so we feel like you've been eating too much lately. We feel like you've been traveling too much lately. You're not allowed to spend any more money because we control it. And they put it under the guise of being useful and
convenient.
Easy. Convenient, that's the word I'm looking for.
Well, and think about that. Like, they can't track what you buy with cash. You know, like you can take out cash, you can go buy things, but more and more it's getting harder to do that. I mean, I remember a guy came in, he came out of the military, he had a bonus or whatever, and he wanted to buy a car. So he came in, dropped $9,000 cash on a desk, and he had to report that to the government because you can only spend so much before they need to know what you're buying. And the thing is, if you make it digital, that just makes it so that they can track every single thing you spend. So you think that's going to affect your taxes. That's going to affect if you do anything nefarious, they can just shut you down and you know, hey, you're not going to be able to get any groceries or money until you go turn yourself in for that parking ticket you have in Seattle. You know, it's like all of these little things that they'll be able to do to you if we digitize and allow them to digitize our currency.
Now, we're talking about central bank digital currency. We're not talking about Bitcoin and that.
Exactly.
Go down a rabbit hole. Exactly. But CBDCs, right? Central banks digital currencies, right? So the government's control of this. And they're going to force you to do it. We've already seen it happening in China and other places, right? So can't use Bitcoin. It's outlawed. But you can use our Chinese version of that here. And the Fed is working on it actively, their FedNow program. So we already know that it's coming. So, you know, and I saw someone in the chat say, well, cash will be worthless. Well, you know, it's maybe not. But I mean, you just think about, like, you have access to those coins and actual paper currency is still transactional. So being able to, you know, have access to that where you can still be able to. I'm reading a book right now on early Revolutionary War time, and it's called, I think it was called The First Conspiracy by Brad Meltzer. Brad Meltzer? I think so. And, you know, like George Washington, really interesting spy book. And one of the things they're talking about is the counterfeiting operation that was unfolding by the loyalists for the king, who were trying to undermine the colonies and trying to print money. This is, of course, goes back. I mean, Nazis tried to do this. Right, they had printing presses set up that they were about to dump cash all over the United States that they printed. Right, so this has been used for hundreds of years. The idea of economic warfare through inflation and dumping cash and so again, it was so important to have this money, to have the paper currency, and it's, I don't think that's ever going to go away. We will have some sort of transactional paper currency, but again, that's why it's so important to have precious metals as well, you know, to have things that are tangible, that are outside of this system. You know, Catherine Austin Fitz says, when the Soviet Union fell, the most important and the most important transactional piece of currency was vodka. Like, to get across the border to, you know, whatever, if you had vodka, like small little bottles of vodka, like that was worth more than money. And she says, you know, go and buy
here,
some.
Here it would probably be Mountain Dew, I would assume, in the America.
Mountain Dew,
like soda.
Cigarettes.
Bags of sugar.
Pacific Northwest, it'd be IPAs. Like, you know, the more hops you have in your IPA, the more money you've got in your pocket.
Or eggs. Like, you see these things when scarcity, right? Scarcity. And so people crossing the border right now with eggs, like, you know, smuggling eggs across the border. Copper. You know, we're seeing such a run on copper that you're seeing, you know, there's such a lack of copper right now in the world that, you know, people are literally stealing copper plates off of streets in order to smuggle them and sell them to China, like, to make money off of copper. Like, that's, you know, these precious metals, man, I'm telling you, it's crazy. We've got more news to get to here on the show. So let's talk about this. Globalists' plan to shut down the power grid is working. So this, on this theme about the World Economic Forum and these globalists, of course, this is part of the plan. What globalists want is us locked in our homes, working remotely, off an electric grid that's backed by fossil fuels, right? They want it on solar and wind, which is a laughable, I mean, it's a joke, right? They want us all on wind and solar, which could never happen. And they're starting, though, to get their wish, even though this is a ridiculous wish, they're starting to get their wish. We have yet another, in the past 24 hours, another mysterious attack on our energy grid. So over the past few hours, we've been trying to get this assessment. They're investigating. We don't know what it is, but what the hell is happening here? This is the latest one in Los Angeles. LAX power failure halts TSA screenings. Outage being investigated. Power has been restored to most locations, but a nearly 45-minute power failure hit Los Angeles International Airport 2:30 in the afternoon, halting passenger screenings, potentially delaying flights. The Department of Water and Power said its crews have restored service and that the outage is being investigated. Power has been restored to most locations. The airport tweeted earlier, most of our terminals are impacted by the loss of power. Crews assessing the issue. Some departing flights may be impacted due to no power to jet bridges. Like, what the hell is happening? The FAA's air traffic control tower was also able to provide regular services so far, they said. But what if it wasn't? And of course, a few weeks ago, we saw that major outage. So every flight was grounded across the United States. Just a small inconvenience. America's entire domestic flight operation was shut down. What in the world is going on? So, of course, this is not the first attack at all. And these are, and they're not even just calling them like a mistake or there's like a failure of the power grid. No, these are targeted attacks. These are happening on an almost daily, dare I say, well, maybe weekly, dare I say, daily basis now. The ones that are at least we know about and are being reported to us because it's impacting so many people that it can't be, not be reported to us. How many of you have experienced one of these outages recently? Let us know, because they've been happening all over the United States. And by the way, they've been happening in other parts of the world, too. This is not just the United States, but we're going to focus on this because it's been unbelievable. Because also how fragile the United States infrastructure is. The infrastructure in the United States is really fragile. So here's North Carolina. Here's a power attack in North Carolina. North Carolina attacks highlight the vulnerability of the power grids. You guys up there in Washington State, Philip and David, you guys had a power attack. The FBI says two men attacked Washington's electric grid. And there's been other, there was another outage in Portland. You guys have experienced these. And here's how Politico writes this. Physical attacks on power grids surge to a new peak, they say. People are shooting, sabotaging. Physical computerized assaults on equipment that delivers electricity are at the highest level since 2012, including 101 reported this year through the end of August, according to federal records. And it's not, I mean, this is an increase over last year, so we're seeing consistent attacks on the power grid. Lynn Tremblay in our chat, thank you for your comments. Lynn says it's on purpose. Yeah, this doesn't just happen. One, maybe, would be, two would be like a coincidence, 101 of them, digital attacks, and people firing guns, and also setting bombs? Who's doing, like, for what purpose? This year's tally doesn't even include 2022's most visible attacks, the shootings of two Duke Energy substations that knocked out power to 45,000 people in North Carolina. The lights went dark on Christmas Day for 14,000 customers in Washington state. Authorities have yet to identify any suspects in the North Carolina attacks and have only been able to speculate about the motives.
Good thing Rachel Maddow still isn't on. She'd have it nailed down.
With her investigative journalism, sure she'd be all over it.
Yeah, it'd be Russia for sure.
Why isn't 100%. The story being covered and analyzed and investigated? The same level of scrutiny that we had over Trump's tax returns. America's energy infrastructure is being attacked on a regular basis and no one seems to give a shit.
You think maybe it is the fact that Russian narrative has fallen apart so many times that they're just not going to use it in their playbook anymore for something like that? Otherwise, we would be hearing about it. Because if they can't put the blame on Russia and there's going to be investigating, there's sometimes where they don't want to bring light to it because then it'll come back to actually who it really is.
Maybe. Yeah, and if it's somebody in the deep state responsible, for, I mean, who knows? But you know, it fits perfectly with an agenda of what the globalists want, though. So that makes it inconvenient for them to cover this story, because we know they already have the playbook in place for lockdown 2.0. They don't want us using cars. They've told us this. They want us to sell our cars. They want us to use our bikes. They want us to be in 15-minute cities, as they're called, where we just walk everywhere. We don't drive anywhere. We don't drive 45 minutes or beyond 15 minutes to see family and friends. We stop using fossil fuels, hydrocarbons, etc. We turn to wind and solar, and we work from home. And we use digital currency so they can track and watch everything that we do. That's what they want. So by shutting down power grids and forcing people to say, you know, I really need to put on solar panels on my house. I can't be dealing with this power outages anymore. I need a power brick in my house, and I need some solar panels on my roof to really protect myself. Forces people's hands. It forces people's hands. And we heard multiple times after the Nord Stream pipeline explosion and destruction by the United States and allies that, well, this is a good thing, they told us. Remember? This would speed our transition. Bill Gates told us that. Anthony Blinken told us that. Pete Buttigieg told us that. This will speed our transition to renewables. So never let a crisis go to waste, right? I mean, that's the cynical side of me, but I've been around this business a long time. So now, I mean, is it conspiratorial? Maybe. But something's going on. And these physical attacks keep happening. Just look at this graph just to see here. The power grid attacks are on the rise. Of course, the infrastructure is garbage. But look at that red line. That's 2022. And already this year, the number of attacks has gone up. So we're already seeing, we're on pace for 2023 to exceed 2022 already this year. Our infrastructure is garbage. I don't know if you know that. And I remember the big blackout, the New York City blackout? What was that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was like 8 years ago?
No.
Wasn't it?
It was longer than
that.
Can anyone in the chat, anybody, we've got 60,000 of you watching right now. Can you guys Google something for us? When was the New York City blackout? It was not just New York City, but that's the 3 million people, but it was all
the 1970s.
Oh, are you talking about the one in the 70s? Like the...
No.
1977.
Oh, you guys, we were talking about how great our memories were a little earlier.
I said a week. If it happened more than a week ago, I don't know.
That's true.
Okay, thank you. Jeremiah Bay in the chat says 2004. I see other people saying, yeah, 2004, 2003 blackout, 2004 blackout. Okay, 2003. Anyway, we'll go with a mix of them. 2003, 2004. Thank you, guys. You guys are good. So they even made a musical about it called In the Heights on Broadway. And it was like, you know, took place during, it was Lin-Manuel Miranda's like first big break before he did Hamilton. And it was about the blackout. It took place like this love story during the blackout and, you know, all this stuff. Anyway, it was so much attention to the, oh my God, our infrastructure is such crap. That was 2003, for crying out loud. Millions of people in the dark.
What just happened to Texas? We covered that on this show with the snow. That was what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Maybe it was like last winter, wasn't it? It was just like last winter.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was last winter, the deep freeze.
When Cruz left.
When Ted Cruz went to Cancun. Just to deliver his daughter, right? I was just taking her.
With a huge suitcase.
Right. I was just there taking my daughter to Cancun. So it shows you how fragile our infrastructure is. And energy companies now are asking you to turn off your heaters, like in California, New York. Con Ed, of course, serving New York area, sent this notice to consumers. We are urging customers to conserve energy due to frigid weather and increased demand. So conserve energy, mean turn down your thermostat because frigid weather. Demand on interstate pipelines that bring natural gas to our region. We're also taking other steps such as utilizing other sources of natural gas in order to serve our customers. So here's the thing, Con Ed. So the Biden administration literally shut down natural gas to the Northeast. And you want them to now stop using it because you boneheads in Washington screwed them over. And blew up a pipeline in Europe, by the way. So they need to conserve. Go ahead. Sorry, I was interrupting.
Well, no, it's fine. I was going to say California also during the summer saying don't charge your electric cars.
Right.
Because of the heat wave.
Right. So which is, we wanted you to move to electric cars, but we realize it's a scam. They don't actually work and they're backed up by natural gas and fossil fuels anyway. So don't plug them in. So just stay home. That's my point. This is what they want. They want you to stay home. They want you to not use a car. They don't want you to travel. So here's the Northeast. Power demand soaring above their forecasts and supplies are tight. Power prices average more than $2,000 per megawatt hour across the grid right now. Holy shit, look at that. Look at the price map for New England. Look at that. $2,000 per megawatt hour across the grid right now. About 70% of the power generation mix is oil, nuclear, and natural gas, while unreliable renewables barely account for 6%. But we're going all in on that, aren't we? We're going all in on the unreliable wind, solar, landfill gas, instead of nuclear, you know, and they see this dependence on fossil fuels or hydrocarbons. I know some people get angry and say, don't call it fossil fuels. I mean, that's colloquially, that's what everyone calls it, right? We can say hydrocarbons, but we know what we mean. It's not crushed dinosaur bones or whatever. We know what it is, right? Petroleum, all those things. And of course, this is exactly what they want, our taking away our dependence on hydrocarbons, which if you read Alex Epstein's great book, Fossil Future, you can't. And it's incredible, like the amount of industrialization and human beings live longer thanks to fossil fuels. We build economies. We lift people out of poverty thanks to hydrocarbons and fossil fuels. But stop using them. They see this dependence on these hydrocarbons as our greatest threat. Here's yesterday, President Biden. This is the greatest threat. Biden calls global warming bigger threat to humanity than a nuclear war. As George Carlin would say, so a few plastic bags, a slight warming, which is part of a cycle anyway, talk to experts, is a bigger threat than nuclear war? Okay. And it's not just the United States either who have these crazy leaders. Now, it's also in the UK, where Britain is in trouble. And if people in the UK try to use wood-burning stoves right now to keep warm, they will be fined £300 for burning wood to keep warm. So let's just get this right. The leaders of these countries screwed you over. Europe allowed the United States to destroy a Nord Stream pipeline so that now you're paying 4, 5, 6, 7 times more for natural gas and you're getting it from America instead of cheaply from Russia. And you want to heat your home to protect your family with wood because all of the other resources have been taken away because of your leaders, and you're going to be fined £300 for doing so. So Germany shuts down its nuclear power plants and then starts opening coal power plants, which are the dirtiest, worst possible power plants. And you got rid of the cleanest, most efficient for the worst. And you're going to be fined.
Take that, Russia.
Yeah. Way to stick it to Putin. You really stuck it to Putin.
You and your $1.80 eggs.
God. I mean, it is a clown world, isn't it? It's a world gone
it
mad.
Is.
I mean, you know, we all, the redacted team here throughout the day, Philip, David, Grimm, Natalie, we're all like on a text chain. We're constantly looking at news and we're just like, are you kidding me? Like, is this really happening? And sometimes it seems like it's a Babylon Bee article. No, this is really happening. It's not fake. It's not even an onion. In fact, I think truth is worse than fiction at this point. It's certainly stranger than it, and it might even be funnier than it. Like some of the stories we're going to cover
I think the Onion really missed their mark during all of this, where they should have just started like doing actual full-on investigative journalism and be like, you know what? Screw you guys. If life is going to go this way, we're going to get into it serious.
Let's go the opposite way. Well, we've got more news we're going to cover here on the show. We're going to talk about these eggs and the chicken conspiracy theories that are going around. It's really interesting, like connecting the dots on why. We're going to do a deep dive on this. It's really fascinating. Like, is vaccines somehow tied to this? The egg shortage? We'll look at that. We're also going to look at Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, because liberals are freaking out about Mr. Rogers. You know, the former PBS kids television show host, beloved by all, who put on a sweater and sneakers, who is now dead. They're upset about him because he believes in two genders. So we'll show you some of this outrage in just a moment. But first, I mentioned last night I run a couple of companies, and one of the companies that I run is a real estate investing company, because I'm a real estate investor and I believe it's one of the number one ways to build wealth, protect your family's wealth. It's been, you know, in many ways it's even better than gold and silver, because it is a hedge against inflation. And it also produces cash flow. It's a tax shelter. It allows you to not pay crazy taxes. And it also allows you to, again, protect your family, most importantly, your family's wealth, by investing in actual physical real estate. If you go to redacted.inc/invest, you can learn more about what we do there. But just to, you know, because people were asking me about it, so I want to tell you about it. Well, we're building about 400 homes this year with our team, and we run a full service team. So our team is fantastic. Full service meaning you buy a rental property, you own it fully, 100%. And the team then will even provide you with a cost segregation analysis, which you're allowed to even take to your tax team, and you get almost the full amount of your deposit back on your taxes using a cost segregation analysis. That's kind of a high level tax thing. I don't mean to bore you with it, but for those of you that know how powerful that is, that's huge. It's new construction. We're building in West Texas and in Missouri, two of the best areas in the country for rental properties. We have a shortage of about 5 million homes across the United States. We need housing desperately. So we're building them in the best school districts, and we have a full service team. We've been doing it for a very long time. So again, we're building about 400 and 500 homes this year, depending on how the year unfolds and the weather conditions and so forth. But if you'd like to book a call with our team, we'd love to talk with you about it. And we also can set up a self-directed IRA to help you invest as well. It's worth a, you know, if you want to just talk with our team about it and see what options are available. And we work with over 100 different banks as well for financing in the United States. So redacted.inc/invest, new construction homes, rental properties in the best neighborhoods, in the best states, the most landlord-friendly states in the country, and in the best states in the country. Some of the freest states in the country, by the way. In West Texas. So check it out, redacted.inc/invest. You can learn more about what we do over at Morris Invest if you're interested. So hello, everyone. Welcome in. On this Thursday, hope everyone's doing well. Hey, were we going to hang out afterwards? Or are we going to do that next week? I forgot. Are we going
to
hang out?
We're going to have to do it next week because I'm still working out bugs with locals. Because okay. we have to schedule that far in advance, and then I can only get, like, I have to know before the show so that I can get the keys and get it all set up before we even start. Oh, okay. Otherwise, yeah.
So what we were talking about doing is for members only, because if you can become a Redacted Rebel VIP, and we have a locals community, and for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support what we do here, support independent journalism, just by going to redacted.inc. And we have a locals community. What we wanted to start doing was, like, once or twice a week, we wanted to hang out after the show and do a members only, just hang out and chat and Q&A and just kind of kibitz. And so, yeah, we're going to get that set up for next week. So we're excited about it. If you'd like to become a member and hang out with us, we'll have a lot of fun. We'll just kind of, we'll talk about the news. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. We'll just have a back and forth Q&A. So we've got about 10,000 members. Now, how many members do we have now? Or am I wrong on that number?
Well, we've got 40,000 members, okay, but we've okay. got about 4,000, a little over 4,000 VIPs.
Okay. All right. So 40,000 members.
The goal for this year is 10.
Yeah, we're trying to get to 10,000 VIPs, so Redacted Rebel VIPs, supporting independent journalism and what we do here. Thank you so much. This is a bootstrap operation. We are not run by Jeff Bezos or any other billionaires, so your support here is what keeps us doing the show, keeps the lights on here in the studio, the Redacted studio.
We are fighting
studio.
Against them, though, to be fair. We're not fighting with them, we're fighting against them, and that's a harder place to be.
We are, yeah. We are indeed. All right. So, yeah, like, we're just going to move along here, Philip, if you're cool with that. So without doing the whole shuffle, if you know what I mean, let's just go right to the D block. All right. So let's talk about eggs, shall we? Let's put all our eggs in this basket tonight. So could the chicken and the egg crisis be related to COVID treatments? This is a crazy story, and we're going to present you with some news and let you connect the dots. Because this is one of those things where it could easily go off the rails and you could say, Clayton's crazy. Okay. Only my wife gets to say that. We're not saying that these things are in any way related, but we're not saying that either. So we're going to present these things to you, and then you can draw your own conclusions. 2 years ago, studies began to show that egg yolk antibodies could act as a neutralizing agent against COVID. eggs are healthy. Wow. Wait a minute. Eating egg yolks, natural stuff, could actually help me against COVID? Interesting. Studies began to show this. Not me. Studies started showing this. From the Journal of the International
Immunopharmacology.
From the Journal of International Immunopharmacology. It's misspelled here in my notes. Anyway, from the Journal of International Immunopharmacology. I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So that is the journal that published this. Can you imagine being the receptionist that has to answer the phone every time? Hello, thank you for calling the International Immunopharmacology. This is Janice. Can I help you? Hold on. Can I put you on hold? Hold on one second. Hello. Thank you for calling the International Immunopharmacology. I guess you'd probably get pretty good at it after about 20 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So here is their article. Here is what was published in January of 2021. Here is the study in case you want to find it for yourself. You can read it. And here is the abstract. So I'm going to read just this section here in blue. We investigated the neutralizing effect of anti-spike S1 on SARS-CoV-2 pseudovirus, as well as its inhibitory effect on the binding of the coronavirus spike protein mutants to human ACE2. Our results show that the anti-spike showed significant neutralizing potency against SARS-CoV-2 pseudovirus, various spike protein mutants, and even SARS-CoV in vitro. It might even be feasible tool for the prevention and control of ongoing COVID-19, this study says, based on egg yolks. So this is a prohibitive treatment for people who test positive for COVID. Similar research was done at UC Davis last year. Researchers immunized hens with COVID vaccines and then used the yolk of their eggs and found that they produced protective antibodies and could prevent illness in humans. Here's the study so you can find it yourself. You can look it up. Hyper-immunized chickens produced neutralizing antibodies against SARS-CoV-2. That's the study. Note that these researchers did not inject humans with this immunized egg yolk yet. They just found that this is an affordable and viable option for increasing COVID antibodies. Then, all the while, eggs started disappearing. 2 weeks ago, we presented you with all manner of videos about homestead chickens not producing eggs anymore. Why? Well, first, we'll revisit that in a minute for those of you that need some context there. But look at what is happening to professional chicken farms across the country and around the world. Here's a factory. Hillendale Farms. It bills itself as one of the country's top egg producers, raising over 20 million chickens for eggs. This is the fire that killed around 100,000 chickens. The fire happened last Saturday, and no cause has been reported yet.
I think they got a rooster in custody right now.
It's a chicken in the hen house, or a rooster in the hen house. Rooster in the hen house. It's kind of funny that they don't have a cause figured out yet. They are very good at figuring out the causes of fires and finding out where the incendiary moment took place. Where was the ignition space? I mean, I've interviewed a lot of these firefighters over the years, and there's experts. And if you've got something that's producing 100,000 chickens, 20 million eggs, that is a huge source of revenue and jobs and infrastructure for that city. They are going to investigate this, but they can't figure it out. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how many of the also, because we covered the story where just like all of these food places were just somehow catching fire. A lot of them didn't have causes. Like what happened? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Have any idea? Officials estimated 100,000 hens died in the Connecticut fire. Here's the Associated Press. Connecticut officials confirmed Monday it's one of several such fires that have killed millions of chickens around the country over the past decade. The agency also said the impact on egg prices was expected to be minimal to none. Okay. Again, we're not saying that this is related, but we're not saying, we're not saying that either. But here is another dot that we're connecting for you. Namely, that people who own chickens are still reporting that their hens are not producing lately on store-bought feed. So this is a follow-up to a story we brought you 2 weeks ago. And these same chicken farmers and more now are coming out saying, we are experiencing the same things. Our chickens simply are not producing eggs anymore after using the store-bought feed. Listen.
So there is a debate online right now of whether or not chicken feed and what brand you're feeding your chickens is causing them to not lay as well anymore. So I want to show you something, and you can do with this information whatever you will.
Everything your chicken
eats you to watch
gets stored
feed.
In what's called their crop. There
see
it gets broken
it
down so the chicken can pass it out
expanding.
Of its body. This is another reason why grit is really important, because it helps to break
still
those
expanding.
Things down. Chickens go number one and number two from the same place. So soft.
I recorded that video last summer. I have been adding water and soaking my chicken feed since I got them, and they're about 2 years old now. The water expands the feed, it stretches it longer, you can warm it up, you can cool it down, it's easier to digest. But somewhere between summer and fall of last year, the feed quit absorbing the water. It would sit 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and a lot of it would still be in pellet form. And I'm speaking specifically about Producer Pride pellets from Tractor Supply. So I quit adding water because it was pointless, and I would give the pellets dry to my chickens, and there would be times where they would let it sit for days and not touch it. The temperatures outside had dropped, they were molting, the feed wasn't doing what I wanted it to, so I changed the one thing I had control over, and I started buying feed from a local feed store. The difference is noticeable immediately. As soon as you open the bag, because it smelled so much better. I don't know what happened to Producer's Pride at some point. It doesn't have a smell anymore. The one from the local feed store smells great, looks great, has a better color to it, and my birds love it. Now, I'm not saying this is a problem for everyone, and I don't know if they've changed their recipe. This is just my personal experience, because I don't know about you guys, but on this homestead and this economy, I don't have the time or the money to invest in layers that aren't laying. So yeah, if your chickens have stopped laying, what do you have to lose? Even if you spend a little bit more money on the feed that you would have to buy to replace the feed you're currently using, I'd say it's worth it if you start getting eggs again, and especially right now.
So Cabin Girl in our chat says, Tractor Supply, Purina, Nestle feed, all problems. And I see people saying in our chat room right now saying, this is war. Like, this is not a joke.
I think what we're seeing is the results of Bill Gates buying up all the farmland. Like that, like he is at the top of all of these lists somehow. And I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying this is like he's part of this. But it's just like when you start to put these things together, and you're like, he's buying up all this land. Then all of a sudden, and he's so into, you know, the vaccine technology and stuff. It's like now food is producing things that are stopping animals from producing. There's egg shortages. It's like. Yeah. It just seems too coincidental, in my opinion.
It reminds me, like, if you had, like, a big whiteboard, you know, like, someone's, like, trying to solve a crime, right? And you've got, like, pieces on a board. Like, okay, wait a second. So all of these fires are happening and all these chicken producers. So we're killing all these chickens somehow. Why? Why are these fires breaking out at these food processing plants all across the country? Why are chickens being destroyed? And then why are these eggs not being produced anymore? And all of these farmers are reporting the same thing. With these different, these tractor feed supplies and Purina and Nestle, these other things that people are reporting. So now look at this woman who says that this is the chickens telling us that something is wrong. Like a woman who is not menstruating. This is what she says. Listen.
Is the commercial feed the reason so many people's chickens have not been laying at all?
Oh, it's the feed. In fact, I would go so far as to say that chickens are starving if you're feeding them commercial feed. Because, you know, they tell you that if they stop laying eggs, you know, you need to check the food, make sure that they're getting enough, because if they don't get enough food, then they're, you know, obviously they're going to stop laying eggs. It's like when you have, you know, a girl who stops eating, she's starving herself, right? And then her period stops. kind of the same concept. At least that's how I read it. We didn't know there was anything wrong with our chickens. We thought the reason why they had, you know, dropped in egg production was simply because it was winter. Until the day we decided to give them a bunch of table scraps that we had had, because we'd had a whole bunch of leftovers. And then the next day we had 14 eggs. It went from one egg a day between nine chickens to 14. Just because we gave them table scraps. You have got to feed your chicken something else, because that commercial feed, I don't know what it is, but it's not food.
That's what we do. We have a lot of chickens here at the Redacted headquarters. And every morning we cook eggs. I cook eggs every morning for the kids. Make breakfast, scrambled eggs, fried eggs, made waffles this morning with eggs right from the chickens. And we feed them, you know, compost. So... And chicken feed that we get, but mostly the compost. And we were starting to see a decline in our chicken production and the egg production when we were given the feed. So it's mostly, we'll get, you know, like whether it's just the basic compost that we have from different scraps of food. And they love it. And then they're also free range. So they're walking around eating bugs. You know, they're out running around the forest area that we have here. And they love it. It's also well known
in the United States, the majority of, like, if you see corn in the United States anywhere, chances are it's feed corn and it's genetically modified corn. And we don't know what it's genetically modified with at this point. So it's like most of the corn and that the United States produces is going to those, to animals. I mean, even I got in an argument with a company called BurgerFi because they said vegetarian fed animals and cows. And I was like, vegetarian fed, that could mean genetically modified corn. And what they said was they're grass fed up until the point that they're taken to the slaughterhouse. And then to get fattened up at the slaughterhouse, they're fed grain, which means whatever these animals are eating, just genetically modified corn or whatever is in it, that's passed down to you when you eat that burger.
Right.
So I'm like very adamant about knowing what my meat is eating before I eat it. And it's getting harder and harder to figure it out.
Oh, they don't want you to know about it. Now they're changing the classification of it. So don't even ask questions about genetic modified anymore. They don't even want that to be labeled anyway. They don't want you to know about it. They want to change those guidelines, you know, and that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, we talked about earlier, you can draw your own conclusions from these things, okay? I'm not saying one way or the other that we have the answers here. I'm saying when studies started coming out showing the benefits of eggs against these viruses, and then suddenly these eggs start disappearing and the chickens start disappearing, you draw your own conclusions. But something's going on, and these farmers are not lying about it. And these fires are continuing to happen, and chickens are being slaughtered. And the price of eggs is also skyrocketing. So something is happening.
Well, not just eggs. Well, I told you last week that I saw somebody saying that chickens were like $25, $35 a chicken now. And I thought that was, I was like, that seems cheap to me. But you're like, no, they're like €2 or €3 or something you said you got them for?
Oh, yeah. Chickens, we get them like for $2, basically.
Yeah. You know, so I had no idea that $20 was expensive.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. So, yeah, something's going on. We've got more news to get to. I want to talk about this Mr. Rogers story in a second. But first, please smash that like button if you'd be so kind. That's all we ask. You don't have to do anything else. And if you're watching on an Apple TV or a Roku device, I think if you swipe up with your thumb on the little device, like a little menu will pop up. You can subscribe and the little thumb up there. You can do that. I think I've learned how to do it on my Apple TV. So I had my remote because I like to give some love to my different channels, you know? So you just like swipe up on the little pad and little channel thing will pop up there. So if you're watching it there, or if you're on mobile or wherever you're watching us, you can do the same thing. So thank you so much. It helps us break through this algorithm to get the stories out to more people. All right, let's talk about Mr. Rogers. Was Mr. Rogers warning us all about the dangers of transgenderism 40 years ago? Turns out the left wing will find anything they can to be triggered by these days, including Mr. Rogers. So over the past few days, social media has been ablaze with clips of Fred Rogers doing various interviews and even just clips from his show talking about gender differences between boys and girls. And now a dead Mr. Rogers is being canceled by liberals. Pull his old shows off the air. Stop his syndication wherever it may live. get rid of Mr. Rogers. The comments on some of these videos are astonishing online, literally. Like, people calling for him to be canceled because of what he's saying here. I mean, and if you think about it, what he's saying here is perhaps even more inflammatory than what J.K. Rowling said last year when she just came out in support of single-sex spaces for women. Support of somebody else's comments about it, and she supported that woman. Cancel Harry Potter. No, go out and buy Harry Potter. Go out and buy the new Hogwarts Legacy game. Like, to stick it to these woke people.
I did.
I did too. I already put my pre-order in for Hogwarts Legacy. So
yeah, screw, I did too.
Screw you.
And it's coming out on Switch. So yeah. I'm excited.
So it's going to be huge. It's already like one of the biggest pre-orders of all time. So it looks like, you know, when you go woke, you go broke, right? So anyway.
Streisand effect.
Yeah. So now a dead Mr. Rogers is being canceled. So it really started with this clip that went viral on TikTok. Dr. Jebra Fauci is a funny Twitter account, and she pointed this out. But here's the clip. Here's the tweet. Trigger warning. This is the most upsetting thing that you will see all weekend. Now, this is a funny account, so she's being sarcastic. Dr. Jebra Fauci is being sarcastic here. So it starts with this old clip of beloved children's TV star Mr. Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I watched that show endlessly when I was a kid, singing and explaining to all of us that boys are boys and girls are girls. Watch.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies.
Now, what's amazing is he wrote all of those songs. He wrote all the music. He did all the puppetry. He did all of that. Those were his words. Constantly, regularly on public broadcasting. Like, if you flipped on PBS, that's what you saw in the 60s, 70s, 80s, up until he passed. What Fred Rogers says in these videos is still the view held by most Americans. Despite the efforts of the media and Hollywood to normalize it, he's literally warning society in these videos, in these clips, over the years, against promoting transgenderism among young children more than 40 years ago. In another clip that's angering the left, he sits down with one of my heroes, Johnny Carson, to explain gender to Johnny Carson. Watch.
Now, what's the second verse?
Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine, your body's fancy, and so is mine. Because sometimes children think that they might change. They might have to change after a while. And, you know, we laugh about that now. But it's because we had that concern when we were little.
Yeah, because you're really not sure. And you thought maybe you'd become a girl, or a girl would become a boy, right?
Exactly.
Do you hear them laughing? Like, do you hear the audience? They're like, is that crazy? Like, the idea that you would just become a girl later? That crazy that you would just become a guy later? And the audience is laughing. Johnny Carson. And Fred Rogers is explaining. He's like, no, kids think that way. And what I try to teach on the show is like, no, it's okay to have those thoughts. But what we need to do is really educate you about it and teach you that it's okay to feel that way, but not to let it run rampant, because if it runs rampant, it becomes mental illness. He said that.
Well, and think about it. He was the king of make-believe. He made believe he was a girl on his own show with his puppets. There were some female puppets that he did the voice for. So he pretended like he was a girl, but he didn't, like, you know, become a girl because he was like,
gender reassignment surgery
Friday.
Right. Yeah. So in 1969, Fred Rogers appeared before a Senate subcommittee. Now, I found this footage. I find it utterly fascinating to watch this. To speak out against cuts to public broadcasting. So 1969, there were threats to cut public broadcasting. This comes up all the time, right? And certainly Republicans want to cut public broadcasting because, like, the way that it's become so woke and this sort of indoctrination of children now is incredibly troubling. And when you're paying for PBS, which is literally an extension of the deep state and the intelligence community, of course, why would we want to fund PBS if it's literally carrying out what the deep state wants us to see on the news, right? So I get that, and it constantly comes up. So here he is in 1969 talking passionately about how he worked every day to help kids work through their feelings so that it wouldn't lead to mental illness, body dysphoria, right? And not just like body dysphoria, but like things like bulimia or just like realizing your body's fine, right? Like your body's fine. So you don't have to become bulimic. You don't have to have, you know, body dysphoria and think that you need to then somehow get like gender reassignment surgery or something. So here he is explaining this to a Senate subcommittee. Doctors believe gender dysphoria is a form of mental illness. And he knew this. It was classified as such. And talk to psychiatrists and psychologists. They will say it's classified as a mental illness. And it was classified then. So that's about the point at which you watch Fred Rogers. This is watching him trying to save public television from budget cuts. His speech was actually so powerful. It gave the dissenting chairman who was holding the committee, the dissenting chairman of the subcommittee, he said it gave him goosebumps because of Mr. Rogers' speech to him. Now, it's about a minute long. It's a powerful little clip. And it's so, for this day and age, it's so powerful to watch. The chairman of the committee wanted the cuts, and this speech changed his mind. When does that happen? Watch this.
We made 100 programs for EEN, the Eastern Educational Network. And then when the money ran out, people in Boston and Pittsburgh and Chicago all came to the fore and said, we've got to have more of this neighborhood expression of care. And this is what I give. I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he is unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. I think that it's much more dramatic that two men could be working out their feelings of anger, much more dramatic than showing something of gunfire. I'm constantly concerned about what our children are seeing. And for 15 years, I have tried in this country and Canada to present what I feel is a meaningful expression of care.
Do you narrate it?
I'm the host, yes. And I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write all the scripts.
Well, I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy, and this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
And so then he changed his mind. Isn't that amazing? I just find that utterly compelling. And so the idea that we should talk about this to prevent mental illness, have this community of care where we can, you know, not force you off into some pharmacological solution for having your body mutilated. And boy, have we gotten so far away from that. So this compilation that just hit the internet today, or over the past 24 hours, this compilation has people's hair on fire. So I'm going to put this up. This is Fred
especially,
Rogers. What's that?
I was going to just say really quick, especially Big Pharma. They're not going to like this.
Oh, no, they won't like this. And this is a compilation going back to black and white. So this isn't just like something he said one time. Black and white up until retirement, he was saying the same thing on public television about children and boys and girls. That's it. Watch.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. When you're born a girl baby, you grow up to be a bigger girl and then a woman. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls. girls can grow up to be the mummies. Only boys can grow up to be the daddy. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. I think you're a special person, and I like your ins and outsides. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine.
Powerful stuff. It's amazing. That's what public television used to be in the United States, but it's gone quite afoul of that. Please share this segment out. We will clip this segment up so it's available. Please share it out. Put it online. Get it out there. Get this message out there. And it just, I think it's so particularly interesting to watch him talk about mental illness specifically in that Senate subcommittee hearing. And also on Johnny Carson to talk about that and hear the audience sort of laughing about this idea that you can just like switch genders. Like it's just something that you can do, like changing a sweater, you know, like a Mr. Rogers sweater and sneakers. So please share that out and please subscribe to the channel. We do this show live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our great community here. And much love to all of you. Great to see everyone here in the chat. All of you guys, seeing everyone here. And all of you folks over on Rumble, we had 20,000 of you on Rumble. Please hit that join button. There's a big red button if you'd like to support independent journalism. And actually, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, if you want to support our community, you can do that by becoming a Redacted Rebel VIP. Just click that join button, join our locals community. And there you go. And some black belt lawyer in our chat on Rumble says, I got goosebumps as well. I've watched that clip now so many times, and I get like kind of choked up about it. I don't know. It's just so crazy how far we've come from that time. That was my childhood when I watching Mr. Rogers, and it's crazy.
Same.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy, oh girl.
Anyway. He covered some pretty controversial stuff, like, you know, for what he was. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of stuff that he did for race and so mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So that's got people's hairs on fire. Well, thank you guys for subscribing to the channel, being a part of our community. Please check the description of our videos. We have links to things we talked about in the description. And don't forget to sign up for our daily newsletter. Again, we'll be back here over the weekend with some additional content, some things we're working on, and some... We have our redacted conversation. We have a big redacted conversation, Philip, right? Coming out on Friday to our locals community.
I think. Yes, sir.
Yes, we do. It's a story about January 6th that you've never heard. And it's a fascinating, fascinating interview with someone who was there that day. So we're going
to
be.
And we've got some video to add to it. Footage.
So we're going to be sharing that with our locals community first. So please sign up and be a part of our community. And you'll see that starting tomorrow. That's a really fascinating interview, redacted conversation. So thank you, everyone. Great to have you here on this Thursday. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here real soon. Be safe, be kind. And I don't know what else, but have a great weekend, everyone.
Rewind.
Rewind. Be kind and rewind.